Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
And I say, hey, what a wonderful kind of day. If you could learn to work and play and get along with each other.
Hit it.
Welcome everybody to Wednesday Warriors episode 26. Joining me as always to talk about NXT and AEW is my dear friend Liam Jones. Liam, do you know I usually edit out the thing you do before the start of the podcast?
But you're going to leave it this time because we've referenced it.
Because I've canonized it by mentioning it. I do in fact have to leave it in.
Leave it in? Ha, huh? You fool. You messed up your own intro.
This is why I edit you.
You're censoring me.
You deserve to be censored. You're a horrific person that attacks people's ears with Lion King songs.
Uncensored.
You're not Scott Steiner. You're not allowed to be uncensored.
Beep, 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 boop, beep, boop. That's my Scott Steiner impression. Hope you enjoyed.
Sounds a lot like him. How's life? You having a good time?
Everybody, good time. Not really. It's really boring.
Is this whole episode just going to be karaoke with Liam?
It should be. It'd be an improvement on our other episodes. All of them.
Liam just unleashes all of his manic energy that he's had for months and months onto one podcast, yeah. Torturing the poor listeners.
What do you mean torturing?
Yes, because it's... Blessing? It's good. Yes, good. Yes, good content.
They love it. They fucking love this shit. Don't ya? Speaking to them directly, because I respect the audience, unlike some members of this duo.
Listen, the first words I utter are, welcome everybody, which is speaking directly to the audience.
Yeah, but you don't mean it.
No, I don't.
I hear the things you say about them.
You're unwelcome to the podcast.
You talk smack.
You're the one that's openly like, I'm just here for the money. Give me the paydays.
Money. That's a Discord bit. You can't bring the Discord bit into the actual podcast.
Oh, right. We can't canonize the Discord bit.
No. Oh, no. I do have a little tickle in my throat.
No!
I was sneezing all day today, but you informed me that sneezing is not a symptom.
I don't believe it is, no. It's usually a fever and a tickle in the throat.
Oh, no.
Not a tickle in the throat, that's developed into a dry cough, but yeah, it's pneumonia.
And then it's like, just death.
Sure, yes. Well, no. Well, highly unlikely for somebody your age, but not entirely unlikely.
Exactly. So, you know, don't get it. That's my advice to people.
Yeah, so
just don't.
Stay inside and wash your hands, you'll be fine.
Stay inside. Wash your hands. Listen to Wednesday War Games. Other stuff I'm sure exists. Not that much of it anymore because most of it's gone. Life has no meaning. Draw. Be creative because that's the only thing that matters. Indulge in information. Expand your horizons. That's about it. Then die. But not of corona, just die of natural causes.
Every week, we talk about WWE, NXT, and AEW. What one last week? AEW won last week. I shouldn't even ask the question. So we'll talk about AEW
Has NXT,
first.
Like, won in 2020?
It might have won once, maybe. I think it's only won twice ever. So it's pretty.
I think we're on three. I remember two distinct wins, and I'm accounting for one that probably occurred at some other point that we don't remember.
I used to keep track in a spreadsheet, but then I forgot to get updated. I'll probably do like a sweeping update of it next week with the, like what the respective match of the weeks were and who won, so we can be like, look at the data,
and then we can be like, look at the first 52 weeks of the show. These are the results.
These are the matches you should watch.
It's not gonna make 52.
It's definitely gonna make. Hey, NXT won this week in the ratings, so. Slightly, by 1,000 viewers. 1,000 whole viewers it won by.
That's because, like, AEW's just going to die, man. Yeah. It's not, has nothing to do with NXT. AEW's going to give up. That's my bold prediction.
They're just not going to make it to the year. The big TK is going to get to 12 months and be like, nah, it's not worth it anymore.
He's going to be like us, get like 5 months into his TW game, and then be like, I'm done.
I booked everything I want to book.
Yeah, that's over. I did all the ideas that I had in my mind at the start, and then I'm done with it.
Which would be understandable. We opened the show with Jake Roberts cutting another really good Jake Roberts promo. Jake Roberts, if he's not like best in interviews in 2020, everyone else is a fraud. Just vote Jake.
I think it's gonna be The Fiend.
Liam, if The Fiend beats Jake Roberts to best on interviews, I'm just gonna never talk about wrestling again in my life. I'm just not going to do
so
it.
So there you go, everyone. Go out there and vote.
You have an incentive, yes.
There's only one thing that you can do to save yourselves from this show.
It was your usual Jake Roberts promo. He's mad at Cody. Tony and Chris Jericho are a commentary. They are, in fact, a delightful team.
Yeah. Chris Jericho should just be a commentator. He needs to learn moves' names a little bit more.
I like when he embraces the I don't know shit. In a way that's much better than Jim Ross, because Jim Ross gets indignant about it. Whereas Chris Jericho's like, I've never watched Michael Nakazawa wrestle. He creeps me out.
Yeah, I purposely avoid watching him, in fact.
So he embraces his lack of knowledge and turns it into a character beat, which is exactly what you'd expect of Chris Jericho.
Whereas JR just gets mad.
And madder when people point it out.
Get in your basements. That's more my favorite JR line.
Indignant. Lance Archer squashed some dude. I don't remember his name, but he had cool gear. I thought he had cool gear, and he got killed.
So did the other dude. Both the jobbers on this show had some good gear.
Yeah, so good job, Jobs.
He took a like a choke slam thing where it was like a suplex choke slam. That was neat.
There you go. Another Lance. It was not the Marco Stunt squash, but nonetheless, Lance. I think Lance Archer is everything that Jake Hager isn't when you watch him wrestle. Because, like, as Jake Hager is, like, slower and meandering and less interesting, and then Lance Archer is just killing dudes and throwing them around and being that big, badass guy you'd expect out of Jake Hager, but Jake Hager isn't. And then he's like, yeah, Jake, watch your Lance Archer tapes.
Or just watch out the curtain.
Yeah, just look at him squashing these nerds. Much better than you squashing nerds. Like, think of that match between Jake Hager and QT Marshall, which was like, ugh. And think of both of these Lance Archer squashes. Much better Lance Archer. And Jake Hager's in the freaking title match next week, so.
Jake Hager should, like, do a squash match with Marco and then just put him in that standing choke and just watch Marco's life drain from his eyes because he doesn't go down. He can't touch the ground. He's just dead.
That would be.
I guess I'm advocating for a literal murder on AEW.
That would be a very good visual, because if he lifted him into off the ground with that, he could probably lift him a good like 3 or 4 feet in the air.
Yeah, and Marco's just kicking his feet. Big good shit.
Poor Marco. Hikaru Shida, or Sheed, if you look at the AEW YouTube channel, defeated Britt Baker in.
I read that as Shid.
Shid, fair enough. In a shockingly good Shid match. I'm going to check if that's still there, because if it is, I'll be so annoyed. This match ruled. This match was great. Yeah. As we say, this Britt's match ruled in face. Unison.
I know, right? It's two on the nose. Or two on the nose for Britt. Haha, because. Her face exploded.
Her face did explode. Accidental blood does add star ratings. And in fact, despite that video being published like over 24 hours ago, she is still there.
Oh, how? It really annoys me in that their videos are all capitals.
It makes no sense. Use the capitals for emphasis.
Stupid. It's so stupid.
It's one thing to make a mistake. It's another to not spot it. It's also the first word in the goddamn title. How do you not spot the first word? Who's not looking at this at all?
Someone's shitting up their job.
Yeah, this match was great. She defeated Britt Baker. Again, I assume putting her... Nyla's not on any of these shows, so I assume Nyla's not at the tapings. So I'm not sure what the women's division is building toward, but...
Britt's cool. This is like Britt's best match, right?
Oh, easily. Britt's so much better as a heel than she was as a baby. And people are like, oh, Britt was good all along. It's like, no, she wasn't. Let's not retcon the fact that Britt was always good. She had some absolutely dire matches.
Which justifies this match. It's like, if you say, oh, she was this good all along, well, then you're just like, you're lying. Yeah. And you're burying this match, because this match was great. And it's like, you're completely de-emphasizing how good this was by saying that all of her other efforts were on this level when they weren't.
And you're also doing Britt Baker a disservice, because she's improving.
Yeah.
And that's what you want out of her. Like she's in a role that she maybe was a little out of her depth for, and she's getting better. That's what you want to see out of her. And she had a really good match here, and she is so much better as a heel, like, in every way. That decision to turn her, tremendous.
She's great. I like her delusional character.
Into her turning the teeth gimmick into something evil.
I really like the, like, Jericho is supportive of both women, but then has like a specific that he specifically wants Britt to win. He's like, oh yeah, Sheeta's great, but Britt, come on, you can win. Like, you're both like playing both sides while also picking a side.
Yeah, Jericho's one of those people who's like, he's so quick-minded and so willing to make himself like the butt of the joke that he's just endlessly funny. It's, you know, the wonderful. He's a wonderful man. He should, as you said, apparently he's going to be on commentary for most of these shows for a while now. And yes, I approve.
I think it was this match, I'm pretty sure, that he had the great line of, I was going through a rough patch in WCW, and it was because I was focusing on these fans, and I was kissing babies and shaking hands, and then it all turned around for me when I started shaking babies and kissing hands.
He's a national treasure. He's an international treasure.
He should definitely like switch into commentary though after he decides to retire. Just do the complete swap over and be great at it. Because then we can have more Chris Jericho quips.
The important question is, who do you dump off commentary for him? And Jim Ross isn't the option because he's play-by-play.
Yeah, you know, you dump off Jim Ross and you turn Tony into play-by-play.
Yeah, and I'd imagine Jim Ross and Tony won't be long-term commentators for this company.
To be fair, Excalibur, like, he basically takes up the play-by-play.
Excalibur's meant to be play-by-play, yeah.
Yeah, like, when Jim, like, lets him, he is the actual play-by-play guy, so Excalibur, and plus, like, because Jericho doesn't like him on commentary, like, that would be the dynamic I'd go with, like, just Excalibur and Jericho.
That is one of the bigger problems with AEW's announce desk as a whole. It's like, it's JR, who's a play-by-play announcer, and Tony Giovanni, who's a play-by-play announcer, and Excalibur, who's also a play-by-play announcer. So you have three play-by-play
Tony
guys.
Tony switches more into color when he's the third man.
Mm.
Which I don't mind. So like him and Jericho, like him as the sweet old uncle and Jericho as like the party rock uncle, and then just Excalibur trying to call the matches. That's the dynamic I want.
Yeah, so just dump Jim Ross. Poor Jim Ross.
I really hate that every time like Jericho or Cody come on commentary, they're like, oh man, so I really hate to have to replace Jim Ross. And I'm like, no, don't hate that. It's way better.
He set the bar so low for you, he's actually doing you a favor.
Like, oh, the best ever. I'm like, shut up.
Kenny Omega is their team name now. Kenny Omega and Michael Nakazawa were backstage discussing how Nakazawa wanted them to be best friends, and Kenny was like, no, they're best friends. Then then Orange Cassidy broke out of what I believe was the toilet. Because you got to be careful. Orange Cassidy could be spying anywhere.
And he opened the door for the best friends who he knew were outside, apparently.
He just let them in, and they were upset. So we have probably the most important stipulation in the history of all the wrestling. The best friends against Omega and Nakazawa match is now, for the name, best friends.
Damn. Ugh. Hell of a title in the line. The best friends should get a title match now, right?
Who did they pin? They pinned Nakazawa, didn't they?
They pinned Nakazawa, but they still have a win over Kenny in a tag match now.
I guess.
Maybe that'll be a mini feud eventually. Not feud, but like a TV tag title defense before nothing.
Yeah, it's weird to have these titles kind of in a weird form of stasis because, again, Hangman's not on any of these shows. So, like, what's any of this building? I don't know. What a weird time we live in.
Wrestling's very odd right now.
Yeah.
It's like, nothing makes sense. Nothing is really building to anything. It's just matches for matches.
It's like, we have to fill 2 hours of TV and hope to make it pretty good and somewhat cohesive.
For like 6 months.
That's probably going to be three, but hopefully not six. If it's 6 months, I don't think I'll make it.
Oh, let me get the breakdown of the AEW rankings.
Excalibur's voiceover of this sounded like he was in a house where he didn't want people to hear him.
Yes, he was very shoddy with this.
It's like,
as
what?
A professional ad reader man now, I was very disappointed in his effort.
I was like, Excalibur, why? He's like doing it like a hutched. As I said, it's the thing. It's like when you're talking to someone on Skype in the nighttime, and you don't want, you like, there's other people in the house you don't want to hear, so you kind of do it in like the hushed tones and start talking like this. But he's still trying to put emphasis on it, so he's like, and now the top of the women's division is Britt Baker, and. Yeah, very weird, Excalibur. Find a house that you can talk loudly and enunciate.
Or just tell whoever's like there, hey, I have to do my job for 20 minutes.
Have you watched the Being Elite wrestling matches? He called them, didn't he?
Yes. I skipped around them. I didn't watch them.
Like, did he sound as weirdly hushed there, too?
Nah, he was a bit more lively.
There you go. Excalibur, whatever you're doing, talk louder.
Talk louder.
Yeah, words. We get the first of two John Moxley against Jake Hager video packages. Might as well dump them both in at once. Both very good. Jake Hager's wife is like, if he doesn't win, he can't come home. I'm like, that's
great.
That's
great. These are the Road 2 videos that we've always wanted on AEW.
Which is, it's weird that they didn't lean further into them earlier, especially in the empty arena environment, that I'm like, surely, like, the easiest way to just fill 10 minutes is to just film, like, just sit everybody in a rotating string backstage to do the talking head spots, and then just cut it into 10-minute video packages every week, and job done. You fill 10 minutes of TV time, and that's what they did here. They did 2 4-5-minute packages on this match for next week, and yeah.
I think we're going to get these more consistent as we go forward, because they're like, what are we going to do with all this time? And we'll get like a 20-minute Jericho-Matt Hardy thing, and then, yeah.
We'll get to the Jericho Matt Hardy thing when we get to the Matt Hardy promo. We there was a long hype package on the history of Cody and Shawn Spears, which, again...
I like Shawn Spears. I really wish he was just, like, a little more compelling.
Yeah, like, that's the story, like, of Shawn Spears' career, though, isn't it?
It's like, he has a really good look, and I think he can talk. It's just like, when the bell rings and you're just like, come on, do it for me, just show me!
And he doesn't like not show you then either. He like gets right up to the edge of showing you and then falls back.
Yeah, and even on occasion he can get like just tippy touching it. It's like, oh, you're doing it. And it's like the next match he'll have like Joey Janela and it just won't work.
Oh dear. Isn't Shawn Spears like 40 as well?
I'm not sure.
He's not a young
but
man.
But like, I was gonna say, like, he looks cool though, and that's half the battle.
That is, and he has a cool manager.
Does he? Where is he?
Well, he can't show up because of prevailing circumstances or whatever.
He's like, because of age.
Yes. Shawn Spears is 39. So it's not like he's pretty, the cement is dry at this stage.
I don't mind him like mid-card dude who like sneaks his nose into upper mid-card feuds on occasion.
King of Dark.
New Japan Pro Wrestling.
The best friends defeated Kenny Omega and Michael Nakazawa. And a fun match.
I liked this match.
People got mad about it because there was comedy. It's like, God forbid there's comedy in my pro wrestling.
But like, God forbid there's comedy during the world's going to shit.
With the match featuring the best friends, Orange Cassidy and Michael Nakazawa. How could there be comedy in this contest?
God forbid. Kenneth would never lower himself to doing comedy wrestling.
No, he is a pure wrestler who only does the wrestling.
I liked this. And there was like one moment where I was like, oh, Nakazawa and Kenny are going to win. I was like, oh shit.
They're going to
be the best friends. And I was like, oh, is like Trent going to turn on them after? Be like, oh, meanie? I don't think they should do any like actual angles with no crowd because you're just killing it.
Yeah.
Do you do any face turns or heel turns until you have a crowd?
Or title changes or anything basically that you're like, needs the crowd for the moment, just don't do it.
Yeah. Or debuts.
Like, did you watch WrestleMania?
No.
like Drew Galloway winning the world title is just like, it was such a dud. And it's like his big moment, but it was such a dud because they did the usual Brock match, which usually has tons of energy, but there was no crowd, so it had no energy. And then he just won, and it's like, okay then.
I feel bad for the dude.
Yeah, he's finally the chosen one.
I feel bad for like Rhea and stuff as well. And Angel Garza.
All these poor people. Yes, best friends won. Good match.
Brody Lee. Brody Lee.
We had our latest Brody Lee, Mr. Brody Lee, by the way, these days. It's not at all. It's Cody's quote the other day. It's not exactly a parody of Vince McMahon. We just call him Mr. Brody Lee.
You got no chance. No chance in hell.
He was mad at people for not wearing a tie, basically.
Yeah, but it's like, I'm sorry, did you not witness them getting dressed to wrestle for the last 6 months?
Mm.
They've been wearing the same outfit. Why didn't you have this discussion earlier?
Also, they were all of them wear the same outfit. So you think this is like Dark Order mandated? Maybe they have formal attire and casual attire.
But it's like, I really like they just had like one guy who's like had a button up shirt and a tie. It's like, did he make this decision to just come to work in a tie instead of his normal stuff that everyone else is wearing? Like, did he have the initiative? Is he like one of the other numbers? Is he 4 or 5 or 6?
I hope that everyone else is like beating the shit out of him now. Cause you made us look bad. We have the uniform, and then you made us look bad showing up in a honestly not very nice tie. But
that would put this over the edge if they start showing like everyone else freaking out, because like it would really emphasize the corporate like ladder and people trying to climb and tearing each other down. Like if you're gonna go with this whole evil corporation thing, show us like the whole scale of it.
Do like an entire like Big Brother esque just camera in the Dark Order household nonsense.
Yes, do this. The winner becomes number 3.
They get upgraded. Who is the winner? I suppose is Brody Lee number 1 or
he's 0?
Okay, so he's 0.
Uno is number 1,
and then Stu is number 2, and then the rest are. Yeah. I suppose John Silver and what's his name? Probably pretty high. Were,
probably like 3 and 4.
You would imagine.
And then the rest.
Yeah, just nameless, faceless goons or everything from.
They
should.
They gotta start giving Silver and Reynolds wins. Like, just give them some dark wins. They don't need to be on Dynamite.
They should beat the other Dark Order goons.
Oh, and have them be the ones who dressed up. Like, they're the ones who were mad.
God damn it.
Then we had a Britt promo.
Yeah, Britt had her face both busted, so she cut a promo afterwards.
She only had this promo time because her face got busted open.
Legitimately, that's what you should do. You have the kick-ass visual of her face being busted open, so it's like, Britt cut a promo.
And she's like, glad you didn't touch my teeth, but even if you did, I could have fixed it.
Can a dentist fix their own teeth? I feel like they couldn't.
No, that would be very bad.
That would be very difficult to do.
Even if they were, like, assisting, they're just backseat driving.
Yeah, it's... I don't think you could do that very practically. You'd need a lot of mirrors if you were to fix your own teeth.
Oh, God, that image is horrific.
Just shoving dental utensils into your mouth.
I don't care for this at all.
Liam... Oh, I found one of Liam's triggers. He does not like weird mouth stuff.
It's teeth stuff, man.
Ooh.
I once had a dream where all of my teeth fell out like Tic Tacs. Into my hand.
That's upsetting.
And I have a very distinct memory of that happening and being like, waking up and going, because I like felt like, and every time I eat Tic Tacs, I just feel like, oh, it's my teeth. I'm chewing on my teeth.
Wait, are you sure you weren't watching a Danhausen match?
No, I can assure you I wasn't.
Matt Hardy is in his compound. He blathered for a while before challenging them to an Elite Deletion match.
Elition.
Which I'm like, why would you're on the side of the Elite? The Elite Deletion is like deleting the Elite. Surely it should be like,
yeah.
Surely there should be a swerve.
He's gonna join the Inner Circle after all.
Is there some kind of Elite or obsolete Inner Circle pun somewhere in there that rhymes? I'm not sure.
He could like because he does the whole eating people thing. He could play with Inner Circle.
Sure. Yes.
There's something there. There's something there.
This is a sweet trick. Welcome to live puns.
Yeah, but I imagine that's half of what Matt Hardy does in preparing for his promos. It's like, what pun can I make about this?
Yeah.
So, like how during the next match, I'm skipping ahead, but it reminded me, Jericho was like, oh, when we're talking about who the Exalted One could be, everyone thought it was Matt Hardy, or everyone thought it was Christopher Daniels. No one thought it was Brody Lee.
No one at all said it. No one on earth. Would you question Chris Jericho?
Nah. Not to his face.
Yeah, Brody Lee murdered Lee Johnson. No, it was Lee that I would like the gear of in particular.
Yeah. I didn't remember the other guy's gear, but I was like, well, if he liked it, sure.
I mixed up my nerds. Cody defeated Sean Spears in the quarterfinals. There we go. Yeah, quarterfinals. So he's advanced to the semifinals of the TNT Championship Tournament. Yeah, it was a Cody and Sean Spears match. It was actually pretty good, but it was still a Cody and Sean Spears match.
I was pleasantly surprised by it.
They broke out all the plunder. They broke out all the stuff you usually expect from Cody to the knee as the smoke and mirrors.
Yeah, whoa. Yeah, I like Sean in this. I thought it was good. Like, these two obviously have some sort of chemistry together, because I assume they've been around each other for the last 15 years of their careers.
The two most interesting Sean Spears matches in AEW have both been against Cody.
Yeah. Who is Sean Spears' partner going to be? That's the real question coming out of all this.
He apparently wants it to be Michael Nakazawa on this show. So.
For some odd reason. I don't know why he wants it to be Michael Nakazawa.
Who doesn't want their partner to be Michael Nakazawa?
You know, I'll be fine with it as long as Sean starts doing all the baby oil spots. Then I'll be in full support.
And then Tully also does them.
Don't you tempt me.
Alright, so that's AEW. I thought pretty good show. Nothing special, but a pretty good, enjoyable 2 hours of TV.
Yeah, it's like, these extenuating circumstances making for odd shows, but like they can still deliver a pretty good show.
Yeah. Speaking of pretty good.
Yeah, well, the first match was
WNXT, which opened with a ladder match between Io Shirai, Mia Yim, Dakota Kai, Tegan Nox, Candice LeRae, and Chelsea Green, won by Io Shirai. I thought it was a decent ladder match. You haven't watched WrestleMania. The triple threat ladder match at WrestleMania was a much better ladder match in front of nobody, but this was a good enough time.
I was happy that they didn't kill themselves doing a bunch of dumb shit. They did some big spots, but they didn't, like, jump off the ladder onto another ladder through a lava ladder.
Someone did jump off a ladder. So was it Tegan Nox fell off a ladder, threw a ladder at ringside?
Well, shit.
And the most we had the return of Mauro Ranallo for this show, calling the entire show by himself.
Thank God. But then, like, I was like, oh, yeah, they brought him back because they want him to do the Gargano Ciampa ender. And then there was no commentary for the Ciampa Gargano ender. So I was like,
I was the exact same. I started watching the show. It's like, oh, yeah, at least we'll get dumbass Mauro doing his dumbass Mauro routine for the main event. It's like, nope.
I remember there was one point where Nox took the kick from Kai and fell through the ladder, and it was a killer spot. Like, looked like they straight up murdered her. And then Mauro, like, was mid pop culture reference as it was happening, and I was like, really?
I was about to reference it. Yeah, I didn't take down the quote, but yeah, he's just like, and then he was like, oh, she fell through the ladder.
Who is Gonzalez? Is Dakota Kai's heavy?
Yes.
She Gonzalez died.
Yeah,
she was murdered.
Yeah,
I like audibly went, ah. I was scared for her.
But she's not even in the match either. They could at least put her in the match and then let her die. Give her a chance to win.
But it's like, and I appreciated Robert Stone's smarminess and sneakiness throughout this match. That was at least enjoyable.
And then he did in fact try to cheat to help her win and failed.
Yeah, I liked this match. I thought it had a lot of cool spots and only went 10 minutes.
Which always helps. Probably the first bump Robert Stone's taken in his WWE career.
First of many, I'm sure. Which then we had like 20 minutes of Bella.
Oh yeah, there was the promo and the video package. I assume you watched the highlights of that NXT UK match in full, right, Liam?
Mm-hmm.
You definitely didn't skip by it, because I definitely didn't skip right by it. I watched all of it. It's not at all a fake show that doesn't exist.
I definitely didn't skip directly to the Bivens Enterprises entrance.
Yes, Malcolm in the middle. Oh no, there was a Mauro quote. There was a Mauro quote in the opener. Never mind. Screw Malcolm Bivens. It was terrible. It's one of
the screw Mendoza and Wild getting kidnapped.
Oh yeah, the Mauro first. Io Shirai proving to be flyer than somebody on a hang glider. It's so bad. Like, that's not even, like, on the levels of Mauro, like being bad. Like, usually he's over the top, but that one's just lazy.
That was just dumb.
Yeah. Like,
the silver lining of all this, of course, is that we're going to get Io Shirai versus Charlotte.
In front of nobody as well, which should be good fun.
Yes.
Yes, Malcolm Brivens, Rinku, and Sarav, the team of Indus-Sure? That was it, wasn't it?
Yes.
Indus-Sure. With Malcolm Brivens, defeated Chase, EverQuest?
Everlast.
No, Everlast, EverQuest the video.
Yes, EverQuest.
Which is a better name. Yeah,
Adventure squash, Quest.
Not a particularly good squash. It's just, it was very long. Why was this match so long and they did nothing?
It was the return of the NXT squash that goes 50-50.
God, like, jeez. And yeah, not a good debut for Indus-Sure.
Yep.
And as you said, Mendoza and Wild are kidnapped. The degree to which they're like, yeah, people are kidnapped. Oh, well. It's like, what? Yeah. Two performers are missing.
Yeah, missing. They will never return, even as Lucha Ninjas.
Mm. Adam Cole cut another promo from his back garden. He's still mad at Velveteen Dream.
Sure, forever. Interim cruiserweight title.
Oh, yes, because Jordan Devlin is banished to Ireland forever, so he cannot leave. So, why isn't Pete Dunne being stripped of... Well, not stripped of his title, but
They said that they were considering doing that.
I guess he might have defended it more recently, so technically he hasn't fallen within the 30 days yet.
Apparently, Devlin defended the title like 2 weeks ago on TV.
Don't worry about it. Don't question the NXT booking. It's fine.
Okay.
Yeah, we had a Becky video package on Rhea Ripley and Charlotte from WrestleMania. And some
which I definitely watched.
Yes, they had promos as well. There was new content there.
Yeah, I definitely watched them.
And that brings us to the entire second hour of WWE NXT. The last beat. Blackheart versus Rebelheart. Johnny
One
Gargano.
Final beat off.
Yeah. Johnny Gargano versus Tommaso Ciampa. Oh, Liam. Why? Why did they do this to us? Why have they inflicted such suffering on us? Why? Why, Liam, was this so long?
I feel really bad for Gargano and Ciampa because they absolutely killed each other. They killed each other during this match. And then it was just like, by the end of it, because it was so long and so melodramatic and so C-grade acting level stuff, it just didn't hit at all. And I feel so bad for them because they were murdering each other.
And like, it's a case of the right I'm not talking to the left, because like Randy Orton and Edge did the exact same thing at WrestleMania. Like the exact same thing, the exact same 40 minute brawl, the exact same brawl on top of a ring truck, the exact same actually it was less melodramatic in fairness, and in fairness they beat the heck out of each other as well. And yeah, it's just like, God, how could you follow that 46 minute WrestleMania match with another if you take out the ad breaks, this was about 40 minutes. A 40 minute brawl around the performance center. And as you said, they killed each other, even though that freaking air raid crash off the top.
That was the most fakey stuff I've ever seen in my life.
It was the worst cut. Because if you remember, every time Jeff Hardy jumped off something dumb in 2006 ish, they usually did the thing where they filmed it so you couldn't see him land. And then they cut to the aftermath. And it was fine. You knew
him,
like,
and him and Umaga, like, jumping off the truck.
Yeah, that's the exact one I had in mind, where it's like, you can't see him land. You know he's landing on something relatively safe, and you're fine with that. But what they did here, instead of just filming them fall, you don't see them land, and then cutting to the landing, they filmed it from like three different angles and then added a thud at the end, and it's like, oh, guys, stop it.
And Ciampa had to just take the move on the outside anyway.
Yeah.
Probably a few times while they got the cut right.
And I was like, I have no objection to them trying to stop these guys from killing themselves in front of nobody.
They definitely shouldn't have taken that. That's a stupid, insane spot.
So yeah, it's just film the entire thing so that you don't see them land. It's not that hard. Do it, at least do it good. And yeah, this whole thing, I've never seen two people brawl on top of a ring truck being so boring.
And but like nothing came of it either. Like, they brawled on the ring top, and then they got down and they walked back into the ring.
Yeah, and they did nothing up there either. They mostly just lied on top of it. It's like, why did you, like, at least do a cool move up there? I know it's scary, but you did it.
I know that, like, we've gone on, they like, hopped on this a little bit, but, like, why is Gargano the bad guy?
I don't know. I really, like, don't know.
How dare you be mad about someone trying to murder you and your wife?
How dare your wife try and get some revenge?
How dare you never, like, how dare you not get over that? Come on. What was on Gargano's shirt? What did that stand for?
It was probably the deep symbolism, Liam. We're just not understanding the deep storytelling of this.
I think it was like TJGW, and I was like, oh, is it tonight Johnny Gargano wins?
Perhaps.
Is it totally Johnny gone wild?
He did go wild, so maybe.
He did go wild.
God, the worst part of this match is when Johnny crawled to Ciampa in the corner, put his hand on Ciampa's hand, and then Ciampa dramatically pulls it away. And I'm like, God damn it.
My favorite part of this was the first 20 minutes in which no one shut the fuck up and just kept talking.
They sure did. They sure did. Just keep running them. And Triple H at the start, just like, fight for me, children.
That was so cringy. That's the problem with this. Like, there was so much of it that just was very cringy. And I felt bad.
And it's like the big, broad, stupid WWE storytelling. And they're like, you see people who are like, oh, what wonderful storytelling. It's like, no, it's melodramatic bullshit.
And then the thing is like, this is the final beat off. It's the end of it. It ends with a heel turn and not a clean finish.
So yeah, it's clearly gonna transition into an intergender feud between Tommaso and Candice. Johnny's done with her.
Oh, that'd be, you know what? Hell yeah, let's do it. Yeah.
Yeah, that brings us to the last bit of it, which of course we have to talk about. The Johnny Gargano's master plan, of course. Yes. It was he shows up with Candice LeRae, gets his ass kicked for 40 minutes, then gets kicked in the balls by his wife, and Tommaso Ciampa's like, oh. Then his wife comes back like 2 minutes later, kicks Tommaso in the balls, and Johnny reveals...
Back.
From the back, yes. Reveals he was wearing a cup. And it's like, his master, that's his... Why didn't you just kick Ciampa in the balls?
After they apologized to each other as well.
Yeah, oh god.
I was like, I'm glad that was a swerve though, because I would have been so mad if Johnny was like, I'm sorry, let's just fucking... It's over. Like, that's so annoying. He tried to murder you, but... Fortunately, he's like, it was all part of my master plan.
Yeah, it's my master plan to be fake kicked in the balls, then have you kicked in the balls. Again, no idea why he didn't skip straight to kicking Ciampa in the balls. Like,
also, why didn't they just have a 2-on-1 match with Candice the whole time? Who was going to stop Candice from interfering?
Again, no rules. The referee was only there to count. They made that perfectly clear. So he waited 40 minutes of brawling on a truck and being air raid crashed to the floor and dropped through tables.
What if he had been pinned earlier?
Yeah, what if he lost? This is so stupid. It's just one of those things that people are like, oh, that's wrestling. It's like, it's not. Wrestling
doesn't have to be
like that. Yeah. And then Gargano won. And God, it was so long.
Yeah.
It was so, like, if this was 15 minutes, I would have been like, all right, it's good.
Even like, they 25, it was a big build, like, blow off. And you, if you had to just condensed it all, I think it might have worked. But it's like, it ironically, it didn't really feel like it had much heart.
No. And these two had a very fun brawl around the performance center. Like, it was the last NXT that had a crowd. And, like, they were dropping people off like, the perches things and throwing each other into weights and breaking mirrors and shit. And it was good fun. And then, it was only 8 minutes as well. And then you see this, where it's like 40, like, the entire, with commercials, it was the entire second hour of NXT. And you're like, why? I get you need to fill time. I get you don't have the full roster there. I get it's weird circumstances, but why?
I don't even like, I wouldn't have even minded it going this long if it was in front of a crowd, I think. Because, like, you know, it's like the biggest feud in NXT ever. Like, it deserves a big blow-off, but it's like, you have to realize the circumstances for this big blow-off aren't going to be conducive to a 48-minute cinema match.
Ooh, Cinematch. Are you a big fan of cinematic wrestling now, Liam? We've had more cinematic wrestling, and if we're having a freaking Elite Deletion soon as well, so we're going all in on cinematic wrestling.
The only good cinematic wrestling is only good when it's funny and goofy, and it shouldn't be taken as anything more than that.
When it's not high art, it's silliness. It's putting wrestling.
It's all wrestling, you know. It's just let it be fun, man. Why can't it just be fun? Why does it have to be this bigger? Why does it have to be like this life changing affirmation of art in professional wrestling?
It's because people can't handle the fact that what they like is just—it's just two guys don't like each other and they fight. It doesn't need to be.
But then, like, that. Ironically, that situation can breed something that is closer to high art. Yeah, in the fucking Firefly Funhouse.
And it usually does.
And most of the time, it does. I can give you more matches that are just straight up blood feuds that were closer to art.
That's the last time we'll ever see Gargano and Ciampa wrestle, I hope.
How long until they run this match back? Over under 1 year.
That's a difficult question, whether or not they get called up. Because if they get called up, it might be under. And if they don't get called up, it's over 1 year. I don't think they'll run it in NXT again. But I do think 100% they'll run this match on the main roster.
All right. Over and under, they run it again in NXT. But it's in a multi-man, like a four-way or a five-way or a six-way or something.
2 years.
2 years. All right. We'll see. This show will definitely still be going by then. So we'll see if that comes to fruition.
We'll be held
to. You know, here's the new. This is the real one. Will this show have ended by the time that they run this back in NXT?
When you said this show ended, I thought you meant like Gargano Ciampa. They're still wrestling at the moment. That's how long that match was.
No.
But our podcast, yes.
The Wednesday Wars will be over before they run this back.
Yes.
Garrett's prediction.
That is my prediction. On NXT specifically, though. Main roster,
yes.
All bets are off.
Yes. On main roster, they'll debut facing each other.
Nearly certainly. Match of the week, Liam. Which match did you prefer most?
You know, I don't really know. It's either the ladder match or Shida and Britt. I'm going to give it to Shida and Britt just because I think I was more impressed by Britt.
I'm the same. I thought Shida and Britt. Good job, Britt. You got match of the week. You nailed it.
Good work, Britt.
And
who's commentator of the week?
Oh, it's Jericho.
I'm going to vote for Mauro Ranallo. No, I'm going to vote for Johnny Gargano, who was commentating 40 minutes of his match.
Yes, with deep subtext and important meaning and storytelling.
It felt like a backyard match. Because there was no crowd and you could just hear the people cutting their promos in the middle of the match. And I said this in a Slack. It felt like a backyard match with less fun and less heart, but not because of not because they were sloppy or anything. They obviously weren't, but because it was kind of boring, and I felt bad about it because I wanted to like it a lot. Like the first 5 minutes when they were just going at each other, I was like, yeah, people are wrong, and then I was like, oh, they weren't.
It was just like self-indulgent and self-serious and overly long instead of just.
I don't even necessarily blame Gargano or Ciampa for that. You know what I mean? Because I think like they had kind of put themselves into this position at this point with the other matches and with the circumstances.
It's all Shawn Michaels' fault. Which show did you prefer?
Actually, you know what? There was no like staring at hands though. We can give them that.
There was no why am I so violent? I'll give them that.
They knew that they were evil at this point. That's the long term story that you people who hated it didn't realize.
That Gargano has finally developed into hurting this man without thought.
Yeah, now he likes it. AEW.
Same, and the poll, 82% AEW, 18% NXT with 292 votes. That was closer when I checked yesterday, so the fact that we're recording a day later may be screwed over NXT.
But it's like, I could see, if you liked the Gargano-Ciampa thing, you would probably like NXT more than AEW.
And, like, diehard NXT fans did seem, in fact, like the Gargano champ. I don't understand it, but they like it.
I don't... I could see if this is your thing, how you would like it, and you'd be really into it. But it's just, like, it's... For me, it's not...
Yeah.
Cinematches.
You can follow us on Twitter at WarGamesPod. You can follow me on Twitter at Garrett Kidney. You can follow Liam on Twitter at Larrikin. Yeah. I have something to plug this week. Go to my YouTube channel, youtube.com/GarrettKidney. Watch my Final Fantasy VII video that I mentioned 2 weeks ago, and I did, in fact, actually make. Liam, did you watch it?
Yes, much like I watched the WrestleMania recap and the NXT UK recap. Garrett, can I ask you a Final Fantasy VII
Liam,
question?
Liam, we have important breaking news.
I haven't seen this.
Effective today, Friday, April 10th, 2020, WWE and The Revival have agreed on their immediate release from WWE. We wish them all the best in their future endeavors.
Wow.
So there you go, yeah. Revival, AEW bound.
Hashtag FTR.
Just as we were finishing the podcast, if we had noticed that 5 minutes later, it would have been so late.
You know we're going to put that in the title.
Yeah.
Revival release reaction. Which is us going,
You have been waiting for a while for the Revival to show up in AEW, so go, Liam. This is your ground.
I'm very excited. I'd be more excited if there were crowds to react to it. Like I had predicted from the start, that the Revival and the Bucks were going to have a tag match at Double or Nothing. If it happens, that's still down, it's still on, and I was right, and I'll forever be right about that. I had a Final Fantasy VII question before the breaking news.
We'll get to that when we finish the breaking news. Do you think they should debut the Revival before they have crowds?
I don't think so.
Especially because the Bucks are stuck in LA, so you can't actually do any. Even if you wanted to do something with the Bucks, you can't.
You have them attack them at the Bucks compound.
And then the Revival will be stuck in LA.
Yeah, I'm sure they'd love that. So, obviously they're going to get brought in and be put with Jim Cornette, and it's going to be the anti-elite stable that everyone apparently wants.
Well, the third anti-elite stable after the Dark Order and the Inner Circle.
Yeah, it's like at some point the elite has to be deleted.
Yes, well, that's what the elite deletion is all about.
Ah, that's where they're going to show up.
Alright, Final Fantasy VII question.
I was going to ask you what your favourite song in Final Fantasy VII is.
Ooh, it's Great Warrior. It's the moment when Red 13 discovers that his dad is actually a hero rather than a coward, and they play this really great version of the Cosmo Canyon theme called Great Warrior, and it gets me in the emotes every time.
There we go. And that's where we're going to end this show, with that exact song playing.
We're probably not, no, but thanks for watching. Or no, this thing. What are we even doing?
This podcast is high art, and you're ruining it.
Yes, this is the Firefly Fun podcast, where we analyze... I should have just written the piece on Monday of, like, here is all the deep meaning of the Firefly Funhouse, which is just, like, everything Bray Wyatt said. Like, there was no subtext in that match. It was all text. I should have written that.
One match I did watch.
It's just like, yeah.
I thought it was dumb, stupid Final Deletion fun.
Yeah.
But, it's fine. I could even go as far to say I liked it. I don't think it's this big, wow, look what they did moment. So yeah, there's your fun times review.
Yes. Thanks for listening, and bye-bye.
Bye. That's it. Say yeah. Bye.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.